Your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 5. Gabe, I almost didn't recognize you there, my friend. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. It looks good. I can barely see Gabe, so then when you do that to me, I was like, oh, who is that guy? And I'm like, oh, that's Gabe. That's Gabe. Proverbs chapter 5. I'll read this chapter, and then we'll talk. Proverbs chapter 5, the book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, I love hearing the pages turn. I'll wait on those. Some of you guys are pains in the neck. You're going to keep moving your pages. I know who you are. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her home, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Verse 12, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor incline my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil. What he's saying is, I almost did all the worst things possible. I was almost in all evil. I was almost in all kinds of evil. I was almost in doing everything terrible. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Verse 15, this is all within the same thought. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His iniquity shall take the wicked, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. You can understand, sensitive topic, but it's an important topic. We must address it. It's real. It's in the midst of God's people. Even verse 15 would say, this person that has this regret, we'll talk about that, they were doing this while in the midst of the congregation. This is real. The title of the message, I've entitled it, The Great Temptation of Fantasy. Why I say that is every sin is deceit. We fantasize that it's going to be wonderful. You name the sin. We think, oh, the reason we sin is there is pleasure in sin for a season. The reason we sin is because the devil has fooled us, and then we glorify it. It's going to be way better than it is because it will bring destruction. That is not an option. It's not a possibility. It's a guarantee. If you plant a corn seed, you're going to get corn. If you plant sin, you will reap that sin, or God's a liar. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. The great temptation of fantasy. We fantasize that it's going to be so glorious, so good. You name the sin, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, you name it. You know, people get sucked up into gambling, you know, because they think, you know, they can just stay away from that stuff. You understand that? Just stay away from it and live life for Christ. But we're deceived. I want you to understand this. When we sin, it's foolishness. I've already been foolish this week. Every single person in this room has. Because I want you to understand that if you're saved, if you're born again, we've been given all we need to have victory. And so it is, I tell you this all the time, it's love is the key. Love is the key. Now, this is great instruction for us with a specific topic, but I think it's going to be good for us. So let's just walk through it. First thing I want you to see, it's almost what I said. Listen up, pay attention. Look at verse 1 and 2. Now, let me just tell you this as well. This is given, and God made this choice. Solomon wrote this chapter, and he's writing to his son, and he's given instruction to his son, but he could have given the same similar instruction to his daughter. So the principles and the truth of this are very much the same, whether it's a man that's being fooled by a woman or a woman being fooled by a man. You understand that? So God just gave us this angle, and it's the best angle that he could give because God always does everything perfect and best. But it's Solomon's son. But he says, my son, verse 1, attend, pay attention, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. It is interesting. I love this, right? He's like, listen up, attend unto my wisdom, that you may have discretion, that you may have discernment, that you may, in the time of temptation, you may be thinking right. And I do love this. This is so good with verse, end of verse 2, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. I'm telling you that it is important that you speak truth to yourself, that your lips keep knowledge, because in the throes of deceit and the throes of heavy temptation that are dealing with emotions and physical, all that kind of stuff, it's we need to acknowledge truth and that my lips might keep knowledge. It's interesting. I love the Bible because you know this. Because sometimes when it comes to, I'll use this term very loosely, love, cuckoo, 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 right? But the Bible says that my lips may keep knowledge. I want to tell you this, when you're being tempted for whatever reason, I do quote Scripture. Anybody else do that? I think it's good. Christ did that. He defended. It wasn't that Christ was close to sinning. It was impossible for him to sin. But he gave us that example. And what did he do? He quoted Scripture to the devil. And I love this where it says, that my lips may keep knowledge. First thought I have today is beware of the ungodly temptress. It could be, again, from the male to the female. And we're just going to learn from this. Let's just walk through this. He says, for the lips of a strange woman. Again, we've talked this in the past. I think most of you understand a strange woman. Is this not working? It's feedback.
Normally I can tell, but tonight...
No, I'm just kidding. That's Mr. Funny. All right. Always wanted to do that, you know. All right. Can you hear me better now? You like it the other way better? All right. But let's look at, for the lips of a strange woman. Again, when the Bible talks about it, it's not like somebody, you know, oh man, she's got three eyes. That's strange. But when the Bible talks about a strange woman, it's talking about somebody that's a stranger to God, a stranger to the truth of God. There's one prohibition. I'm telling you, there's one prohibition for marriage that God has. A believer should not be yoked or married to an unbeliever. Now, I tell you this, the Bible also addresses what happens if you are. Well, 1 Corinthians 7 says that. He says, stay married, honor me, and I'll sanctify you, your husband, and your children. So, you know, so we're going to have those realities, right? But it is when for all the people that aren't married, you should only marry somebody. You should only date somebody. The reason why we date is to find a spouse. We don't date to have fun, right? I mean, dating can be fun. I'm not saying you should be miserable in your hunt for, but it is, you're looking for somebody that will help you serve God. I know I'm telling you, that's the important thing. I'm just so, I won't, Joe's so fresh, I can't pick on Joe yet. But so Jacob and Damaris, right? Perfect marriage right now. I know, more than you expected. You're like, whoa, man, I buy one, get one free, right? And but I will tell you this, even at your young age, it is, it's about the Lord. It's about the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's about companionship more than everything else. I know. You like kissing Damaris? That's good. This is going to be a tough one. Tell the truth. You like kissing Jacob? Oh, that's good. That's good. All right. So that's all right. That's all right. But it is, oh, Jacob. we asked you that 6 months ago, and so you've improved. And but it is, so I tell you this, though, but that's not what marriage is about. You understand that? It's a wonderful part of marriage, right? I mean, shocking things in chapter 5, right? I'm not going to, hash through all those, right? You guys are like, is this PG-13 tonight? But it is, that's in the Bible. It's a wonderful part of marriage, but it's not the focal point of marriage. It's God is the focal point of marriage, and that's why marriage is so wonderful, so that we can serve the Lord together. But here's it is, for the lips of a strange woman droppeth a honeycomb. Sweet, man. And her mouth is smoother than oil. There could be a number of references here. It could be her words. Hey, big boy. You've been working out? Well, only 3 times a week. It could be her words. I'm telling you, this is real. This is real. I'm going to tell you how much I believe that you ought to listen to this chapter. If you have issues at work, I'm going to tell you. If there is a woman or a man that is pressing you and you're struggling, get a new job. It's that big a deal. All right? Don't say, oh, no, get a new job to honor God. I don't say you always have to do that. But the lips of a strange woman, oh, it's sweet. And you're like, man. It could be the words or it could be, right? I mean, it's. I'm just telling you, for the lips of a strange woman. Now, this is talking particularly about married people because it goes into that context. His son apparently is married in this chapter. You can tell that later when he talks about this. But it is, let me talk to the singles as well with this. It is, be honorable in your dating relationships. I told you this, many of you know this, I only dated one other person in my life, and my best friend married her, and I was the best man, and I didn't have to tell him anything. He called me at 3:00 in the morning one time, and he said, I'm coming by to pick you up. And I'm like, he picks me up, and we're driving in his truck, and I'm like a half an hour. He's not a talker. I was. You know how friends are opposites. Finally, I'm like, I'm going back to bed. What in the world did you pick me up for? And he said, would it be okay if I ask Pam out? And that was the only other girl I ever dated. Well, I'd already known Deb, and, I was, after 3 days, I was like, this is my wife. And so, anyway, praise the Lord, I was right. But it was, I love this. It was the goodness and the grace of God. This is not Steve, Pat, and Steve on the back, but I'll tell you this. I love that. I didn't have to tell my friend anything. You understand that? That's good. Be that way. Live in a way that you would want to live when you're married, okay? Be honorable. Honor Christ. And I'll tell you this. I know it's difficult. That's why never go to someone's house when they're alone. I've told you this. I married my mom and stepdad, and when they were dating, she got mad at me, but I said, Lou should not be over at your house. And she said, I will do what I want. I said, feel free to dishonor God. I said, I don't care how old Lou is, he's a man. And I said, do what's right. And she said, you don't trust your mother? I said, I don't trust your flesh. I've been that way before, And she said, and I just told her, I said, what could your neighbor say? I said, do what's right. I don't care how old you are. Do what's right. Christ is worth it, right? And so we don't put ourselves in these situations to mess up. I'm just telling you this. You all know this. Your heart pitter-patters for somebody other than your spouse, run. Never talk to that person the rest of your life. Be an oddball. Okay? Honor God. You follow me? Verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Oh, man, sweet, sweet, sweet. And her mouth is smoother than oil. But look at the end. You love the contrast, verse 4. But her end is bitter. Oh, hello, sweet. Her end, bitter. Hello, smooth. The end, a two-edged sword. That's the truth, and that's the result of sin. You can fantasize about it all day long. You can imagine different things all day long. You aren't different than anybody else's sin, and it will destroy us. I tell you that. I'm preaching to myself. Old men blow it. Have a good friend. He looked at me. This is recent time. He said, you ever wake up and look up in the mirror and you see failure every day? He blew it. And I said, lost his whole family. Was my age. Now he's older. But was my age. I remember that. And I told him, I said, God's forgiven you. That doesn't mean everything's going to be fixed. Serve the Lord now and stop. Just, you need to embrace his forgiveness. Yes, the consequences are there, but God has forgiven you. Now let's serve him. The sting is there every day. He needs to look in the mirror a little bit differently and embrace the forgiveness, but the sting is there. The two-edged sword is there. The bitter wormwood is there. You remember that there's a star that will come to the earth during the Great Tribulation, and it's named Wormwood, and it's going to make a third of the water's bitter, and when it crashes to earth. I tell you this, you're not different. Ask God to help you to believe this. Ask God to help you to live this, and you'll be thankful for it. You'll be thankful for it. Look at verse 5. Her feet, this temptress, and it could be a man too, so I mean, it's just this context. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. It's the truth. It's the truth. Now look at verse 6. I love verse 6. This is so fascinating. Lust thou shouldest ponder the path of life. So here's what this is talking about. Okay, I have no idea who's doing. I'm not preaching to anybody this message. But let's say somebody in our midst, you're going down that path. And God's been good to some of us, and I praise the Lord. I love hearing how God has rescued people. But if you're like, I need to consider the path of life. This temptress says this, her ways are movable. She's shifty. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. So when she begins to see you come into your senses, she's going to shift. Hello, over here. And get you to where she's deceiving you and fooling you because she has a plan and you don't. The Bible says later in Proverbs, you're as an ox going to the slaughter and you don't know it. Folks, this is real. I tell you, if there's, and I have no knowledge, I'm just telling this, I'm just preaching the next verse. Flee fornication, the Bible says. Flee it. And then see the goodness of God that would help you flee. Verse 7. He says, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Beware of the ungodly temptress. Next section. Oh, I want to show you this. Proverbs 9. I forgot. Sometimes I forget what I have. Proverbs 9. We'll get there in future weeks. But a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers to go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. The Bible would say this. When you fall for that, you're simple. Don't do that. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she says to him, stolen waters are sweet. In Proverbs 5, it talks about waters. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. I will tell you, those sweet nothings, those promises, those dreams, I beg you, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. If there are ladies here, reach out to some of our godly ladies, that they won't condemn you. They will love you and they will weep with you, and we need help. I beg you, okay? Men, if you're not comfortable with me, okay, I mean, I'll weep with you. I promise you this. I'll love you. And so we want to help each other. I don't want to hear after the fact that we coulda, shoulda, woulda. I want us to help one another in the midst. You understand this? I don't know if any of this going on here, but I'll tell you this. It happens everywhere, every day, all the time. Does it not? This is following, remember, we were just recently in Exodus chapter 20, covetousness, right? That, and this one drills down to, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And this drills down with it to there. So just remember, ask God to help you get a hold of the truth. Speak the truth that you might run from the temptress. Destruction adultery brings. The destruction adultery brings. Look at verse 8. He says, remember thy way, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. I don't have this on here, but I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. I'm a huge Joseph fan. He's one of my favorite Bible people. And Joseph is a godly man. And I'm not in disagreement when people say Joseph and Daniel may be the only two that something negative isn't said about. But sure enough, I can find something negative about old Joseph. It's 2020 hindsight, right? And we see Joseph, and I'm gonna highlight the story of Joseph. Genesis 39. Joseph was godly, to be clear. Joseph was godly. He what he endured, none of us will have to endure. 22 years of isolation from his family, captivity, and constant failure, it appeared. But then he saw the goodness of God. Genesis 39, verse 7. Let's start there. And it came to pass, so Joseph is working in, he's finally, seems like things are looking up. A young man at Thornton's I'm trying to reach, he became the GM at Thornton's. And he's kind of had a lot of messy things going on. He's lost, but he said, things are looking up. And I'm like, we need to have a Bible study. So it's he's super kind to me. I want him to know Christ. But it came to pass, so Joseph is the head of Potiphar's home, and things are looking up. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. So this guy's wife, Potiphar, she took an interest in Joseph. But verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. Praise God. What a great response. And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in his house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? What a testimony, amen? He said, I can't do this to your husband, but this is really a sin against God. No criticism. Good stuff, amen, amen, amen. Verse 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. He didn't have the opportunity to get a new job. If Joseph had talked to me, I'd say, get a new job, but he was a slave. Couldn't do it. It came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her and to be with her. Godly man. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. This is my criticism. I show you this if you can have your fingers in Genesis 39 and your finger in Proverbs 5. It said, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. Here's what I just tell you, it's 20/20 hindsight. I know people think I'm odd, but I will never be in this building with a woman by myself. If you come here, just let me know and I'll leave. It's happened before, Rachel's coming, I leave. I love this. You know, it's like, boom, text me, I'll leave. You call, I'll leave. You're not inconveniencing me at all. Don't you worry about it. Don't drive off. I'm here a lot, but it is, it'll all work out, right? It'll all work out. I sat out in the cold one time. Tabitha was cleaning before you guys, and she came on a Sunday morning. I'm like, oh, so great you're here. And I was like, I sat out in the stinking cold, and you guys don't get here that early. And but I'm not a great guy. I don't do it because I'm tempted. I do it for testimony. And you know this? You can't be tempted if you're not in a tempting situation. You don't understand that? You don't have to be a weirdo, but it's just honorable. Here's my criticism of Joseph. He should have always had another man with him. He was the boss. Hey, Jimmy, you know, come with me. Got some things to do in the house. What do you want? Just do it. Always have Jimmy with you. You know, the principle of God's word, what I like about when we go door knocking is 2x2. If anybody goes by themselves, it's me, and there can be some criticism for that, because I think the principle of God's word, I don't think it's an absolute command, but the principle is that you go by 2x2 for protection of the Lord's testimony. And so I think Joseph could have had, again, you say, see, that's hypercritical. Again, I'm really not trying to criticize him so much. I'm trying to learn from it. You understand this? It's there's always a way to respond and accomplish the task, right? There's always a different way to look at things. You don't have to just say, well, I can't do it then. No, just take somebody in there with you and then you can accomplish it. Now turn back to Proverbs 5. I won't finish the story, but maybe I've whet your appetite to go back to Genesis 37 is the beginning of the story of Joseph. You'll just love it. Verse 8. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. You cannot fail if you don't go in unto her. Yes? Verse 9. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Just let's keep on reading. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Folks, this was written 3,000 years ago. I don't think they had garnishments and child support. And it's you mess around, you'll pay for it. I love it. I love it. He says, look at verse 9, lest thou give thine honor unto others. You think you can keep it secret. I think I can keep it secret. I'll just tell you this, the devil can't wait till it's not secret. He wants to try to bring dishonor to God. You don't listen to God, he says this, you'll give your honor unto others and your years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. Yeah, I always knew when I worked at P&G, I always knew this when I saw the, you know, these old guys working, maybe my age now, right? But I'm pretty young now, but yeah, I saw these old guys, I'd be like, you know, they'd be walking up the steps. And I always thought, why are you working? 99 times out of 100, I guessed it. Oh, you got divorced. And so you got to work longer. You gave your wealth to somebody else because you thought it would be better. And it wasn't. I tell you this, folks, let's honor Christ. It starts right here, right? What are you watching? What are you listening to? It'll get in this heart. Out of the mouth proceed the things of the heart. It'll destroy us. Look at verse 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. I love what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, the adulterer watches the river turn into a sewer, but the faithful husband sees the water become wine. It's good. I love that, right? But look at verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. You want to be promiscuous? You want to be unfaithful? It's not God striking out on you. You're going to see that at the end. God says they will be caught in their own iniquities. It's not God going zing, zing, zing. Somebody gets a disease, it's not God striking out on them. It's the consequence of promiscuity. It's the consequence of violating the principles and the commands of God. You understand that? It's not God, so don't blame God. It's not. It is It says, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, and so this, we'd have a great discussion if we had Sunday school with this. I want you to think about this. You think this is repentance? Remember, there's two words for repentance in the Greek, metamilomai, metanoia, and metamilomai is all about you. I remember metamilomai, me, and it's like you're bothered with the consequences. Metanoia is you have godly sorrow. Remember when Judas hung himself, it said Judas repented and hung himself? That was metamilomai. It wasn't godly sorrow. So we could have this discussion. So when I read these verses, answer in your heart, do you think this is godly sorrow, or do you think it's just mourning over the consequences? And they say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? I hope there's nobody here tonight and you go, I can't wait till he shuts up. I'm out of here. I don't care what he says. I'm doing this. Those things are the worst things that a pastor has to see. You know what a pastor loves to see? A broken heart. You encourage me. I'm not discouraged by your sin. I'm not. I'm discouraged by your defiance. But when I see brokenness, man, I want to weep with you. I want to mourn with you, and let's do what's right today. And the consequences may still be rough, but let's do what's right today. You encourage me when God gets a hold of your heart and there's brokenness. You see, true Christians, we are we surprised when a Christian sins? Disappointed, maybe? But what I love is let's not just, harden our hearts. Verse 12, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me? In verse 14, I was almost in all evil. I was nearly doing everything that you could possibly think of in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Just several thoughts there. Did you think you could get away with it, and you're showing up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, which I think you should. Let me just tell you this. If you're doing secret sin, you come to church. Maybe God will get a hold of your heart. I beg you, I tell you this, stop it. I tell you that in love that says it's only going to destroy you. We're not here to condemn you. We're here to help each other. Most of what people do, most in this room have thought about it. The grace of God has kept us from acting out on it. So, it's just, we got to love one another, but it's this. It is, I'm just telling you, we do things and we act like, how you doing? Good to see you. Seth, I love that tie. Man, that's so good. That's so good. I can't wait to get out of here because, I got things to do, people to see. But, I can fake it. I want you to come to church. But if we don't honor God, I don't know. He said, it's this happens. Folks, I tell you this because this isn't the people out there. This is the people in here. I hope none of us are thinking about people out there. I hope we're thinking of this. Oh, God. I'll tell you, I'm almost 60 years old, and I thank God. When I go through these passages, I just thank God. God, thank you for keeping me from being a complete moron, idiot, stupid. I can't take credit for it. It's the goodness of God, right? I mean, it's shocking that, I was just going to make a stupid joke, but I just praise God. I praise God. I do. I thank the Lord. I tell you this, we have one life to live for Christ. And then I love this. It shifts. All it talks to destruction. Find satisfaction in your own wife. I could say in your own spouse. I had a Bible study last night. And, I want to tell you, I pray for our singles. I do. And this is a single guy, and man, he's faithful, and he wants a wife. He's got me as his teacher. And I'm like, well, are you the most eligible Christian bachelor? I told him. I said, you got some work to do. And you, if you listen to me, you'd be like, it's impossible. I'm never going to get married if I listen to Steve. I pray for you. You hang in there. You serve the Lord. All right? You serve the Lord. Love our singles. I do. I love our singles. I mean, it is, you trust the Lord. You trust the Lord. And you be faithful as though you are married. You understand that? Don't you sell yourself short. You be faithful. You'll honor God, and he'll take care of you. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Easier said than done, but I'm just telling you this. You can do it. Because Christ is worth it. But it's hard, right? It's hard. A single daughter, man, she's going to be a catch. But I don't want anybody to catch her. You know, I mean, it is, and I know this. She's working to become a nurse anesthetist. She'd rather find a man to serve the Lord with. I don't think I'm misrepresenting her. I just want to help her and encourage her. You hang in there. Honor God. I don't know what his plan is. You'll never regret honoring God. So now this, and so I said all that. Last night, he brought this up because we were in Proverbs 16. And be satisfied with what God's given you. He just said this last night. It just rang truth for me. He said, you know, you pray for me. I'm always thinking about what I don't have. And he said, I need to be thankful for what I do have. I was like, I said, that's coming from a pulpit near you soon. And I said, man, it was just good for me, wasn't it? Help me to not always be thinking about what I don't have, but to be thankful for what I do have. That's so Bible, right? And so I want to tell you this. You're married. Love your spouse. Easier said than I'm done for some. I'm not for me. I'm not saying that. No, I've got it easy most of the time. All of the time, okay? 99, 98.7. No, I'm just... But it's... There are difficult marriages. There are difficult marriages. Are there not? Yes. Just, it's hard. There are marriages that are hard. Honor the Lord. Look what it says in verse 15. So the whole principle is find satisfaction in your own wife, in your own spouse. But it says, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. It's sort of like, this is the grass is greener on the other side. You know, we're always like this. Oh, man. That water looks really good over there. And the Bible's talking about that woman's looking really good over there. The Bible says, drink waters out of thine own cistern. Stop looking at what you don't have. And running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed and rivers of waters in the streets. I think this would be your children. Okay, so follow this. Let's look this. Let them be only thine own. It's this. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. You have children that they would go and make a difference for the kingdom of God. And he said this, let them be only thine own. And if you just are monogamous and you stay with that one spouse, then you don't have to worry about having children all over the place with whomever. And so he says, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. It gets better. It gets better. I can tell you that. Marriage gets better. It's marriage gets better and marriage becomes, I this is my belief, and for the most, it's not always, but you hang in there and you enjoy your spouse. And he says, verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and as a pleasant roe. That's interesting, right? That's a deer, right? And so I've thought about this. This is super fascinating. I don't know if I couldn't find anything. I don't know if this is the root. What do you call Damaris? Deer? You do. I know you don't. Yeah, you're like, I call bro. You guys in the bro thing. You guys call women bro? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, right? I mean, bro. I'm like, what? And but you know, you'll hear, okay, maybe it's older people, much older than me. They might say, "Oh dear," but it's this. Let her be as, you know, I'm sort of making this up, but let her be as a loving hind in the pleasant row. It's sort of like this. We have some deer, and they had some babies and like triplets in our backyard. And we're like, "Ah!" We act like, you know, we've never seen an animal before. There's deer in the backyard, right? Don't we do that? That's how I'd respond to it when I get home. "Ah! There's my wife! Oh, it's like she's home! How wonderful!" You know, I mean, I don't know, but be excited, be ravished, the Bible says, right? Just enjoy your wife. And I'll tell you this, we'll help. We'll help, we'll get involved, we won't get involved. I want you to have a biblical perspective. I believe this. If two people are saved and they really want to do what's right, you can have a good marriage. I do marital counseling, but it ain't all that, is it? Joe's my most recent one. It's like, it's not. It's not. And I mean, I'm like, "Are you saved?" And I knew Joe was saved and Phoebe was saved. I'll say, "Well, you can have a great marriage. You can have a great marriage. If you keep Christ in the center and you keep Christ as your focus and you just think of the positive things that God has done, you can enjoy your wife. You can enjoy your husband. We're here to help. I'm not just here to preach this message and you go have a miserable marriage. I want you to have hope in Christ. I want you to at least be able to exist and thrive and love the Lord, and in whatever circumstance you are. If you're single, thrive in that. If you're married, thrive in that. In whatever situation, let's be satisfied with what God has done." You know, verse 20 is just a great question, isn't it? "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger?" We have become, and you can tell that the United States as a whole, we are at such a level, probably the third level in Romans 1, given over to a reprobate mind, that the evil, the physical relationships today happen and you've met the person within 24 hours. The world thought that was nutso just 30, 40 years ago. Because anybody thinking in their right mind, they want intimacy and just a closeness with somebody. That's the beauty of marriage. I'm not talking physically. I'm just talking, you know, I love this. My wife knows me better than anybody else knows me. And I'm thankful for that. And we can talk about it. And it's good. She's my best friend. I don't even know. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to have any other best friends. She's my best friend. And I love that. And I don't say that to any other reason. I think that's, I've said that before. And it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be because I've been challenged on it. I think it'd be a good thing if your spouse was your best friend. I don't know. It doesn't have to be. But love her. I'm going to read this, and it was something I read. Here's kind of a summary of being satisfied with your spouse. I'm looking at time. We're okay. "I am here for you, and you are here for me. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. I know you more than anyone else, and yet I love you. You know me more than anyone else, and yet you love me. Our children and home life are protected and safe. We are not slaves to our sexual desires. We live by principles greater than our sexual impulses. We will remain together in support of each other as we grow old." You know that one line, "Our children and home life are protected and safe"? I will tell you this. I've joked, maybe you have to explain this to your kids, my sisters and I, we joked that we were the first test tube babies, right? Wasn't a lot of love at home, right? But my parents stayed married. It was old school. And If I heard my mom say once, I heard her say it 1,000 times. When you kids are grown, I'm out of here. Okay? She hung in there for us. And then when we all grew up and moved out, my dad got Parkinson's. And my mom hung in there. I have no idea how rough it was. You don't. None of us know what a caretaker goes through. I'm standing at my dad's bedside. And she looked at me. This is the day before he passed. And she said, I fell in love with a man I never knew. I still don't know if I know all that that means. And I've told her this. I tell my mom this often. I say, Mom, it was worth it. It was worth it. Thank you for hanging in there for us. Thank you for caring enough about us that you hung in there for us. It made a difference. And I will tell you this. You think the grass is greener on the other side? Remember your kids. Kids. You know, I'll tell you this. I don't want my grandkids, I don't want my kids to say, oh, Papa was a preacher. But Papa, he messed up. Now, I need to be motivated by love for Christ, but I'll tell you this, I want to be motivated by protecting my home. We have to think beyond ourselves, right? And we're so selfish, and I'm the king of it. But it's worth it. Let me just finish with this, verse 20 to 23, and then I'm done. We never get away with sin. Look at how it finishes. Verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. God sees everything. Remember that. I know this. If Jesus were standing by you all the time physically, would you talk to Damaris the way you do sometimes? You talk meanly to her? We're meeting afterwards tonight. No. I know you. You're a little bit, I don't mean to curse you with this. You're better, got a lot of, there's a similarity between us sometimes. Don't be a jerk. Can he be? But it's this. If Jesus were with me, I would never speak to my wife with disdain. He is there. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Look at verse 22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. It's not God zapping him. It's his own iniquities. And he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Understand the end. This is so beautiful. His iniquities are what will destroy him, and he's holding with the cords of his sin. You pursue, and I pursue sin because we think it's just going to be glorious, and all it is it's like getting caught in seaweed that you'll never get loose from. That is the truth of sin. The younger we are, the less we want to believe that. But look at verse 23, and I'm done. He shall die without instruction. And what that means is because he refuses to receive it. Be teachable. Be teachable. Tina, can I share something that you shared the other day? I love this, right? Can I? Is it too much? I love this. All right. I'm going to finish with this. All right. Tell Tina and Jeff you've enjoyed getting to know them for the time they've been here. And but I thought it was awesome, Tina. Jeff asked me a question the other day. He said, I've noticed that you don't have women praying or speaking during the service. And he said, is there a reason for that? And I said, well, let's look at the Bible. And we looked at the Bible, and the Bible's pretty clear, and it's not a less than proposition. And in the 21st century, women have it harder than men, to be clear. And you're fighting in a man's world, and because men have abused the authority God's given them, and men aren't better than women. I'm not saying any of that. And so it's a tough world, right? It's harder to be a woman than a man. And I love this, because Tina was just honest. She's so good. She said, you know, when you first said that, I was like, Right? Didn't like it. You know what I loved? You let the Bible stand. And you said, you know what? Doesn't matter if I understand it. It's super clear what God says, and He's right. You know what I love? I love this. That so encouraged me. You can say, don't you ever do that again. It so encouraged me, Tina, because it encouraged me that you're teachable. You may not be super comfortable with it still, right? You don't have to be. You know what I'd say? Let's let God speak. Let's let Him teach us. I beg you. I beg me. I look in the mirror. Let's be teachable. Let's be movable by God's word that we might honor Him. The reason why this entire chapter matters is because the honor of Christ is at stake. You think you can play with fire and not get burnt? You're going to get burnt, but some people don't get burnt as much as others. And you say, I don't mind getting burnt a little bit. No, the reason it matters if you're a Christian is the honor of Christ. The honor of Christ. Everything is about the honor of Christ, not my personal consumption upon myself. I love our church. Proverbs 5, a little sensitive, right? It's real, is it not? We need to teach our children, and we need to be men and women of integrity and repent when we're not doing what's right. Let's pray.